Duffy. Do you remember her? Rain on Your Parade. She's one of these artists, a massive album, and then she sort of sunk without a trace. I don't know what she's doing now. Probably working at McDonald's or something. 7 minutes past six. There's nothing wrong with working at McDonald's, by the way.
No.
Who was that laughing?
It was me, no, because I was going to say she's probably still waiting at Warwick Avenue.
Oh, I love it when someone tells a joke and finds it funnier themselves than the other people in the room. What was that?
I said, I don't get it.
You don't get it? Well, because you're not a Duffy fan. Duffy did a song called Warwick Avenue.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry.
That's quite all right, Emma.
I've been enlightened.
It's time for the unsigned chart now, everybody. If you want any more jokes, Emma will be here for the rest of the show. That was good, actually, for you.
That was good, yeah.
Was that completely off the top of your head?
Yeah,
wow.
It was. How good is that?
There won't be another one of those for another 12 months. Oh, dear. Right, we counted down the unsigned chart last night, it's the top five of unsigned artists in and around Cambridge, and this was the order. Number five was Fred's House with Bonnie and Clyde. Number four, Tom Lumley with Every Day. Number three was the new entry from Let Go of the Sky with Golden Skies. Number two, John Chisholm and Made for This. And number one, Scream People with All Seeing Eyes. They returned to the top spot, so this is their track.
If it works, it will be bliss. I'll be reborn again. But if it works, you will be missed. You'll be reborn again. But the darkness from your seeing eyes consumes the endless hate and lies of goodness, will and love. But if it works, it will be bliss. Babe, one, I'll give you that.
Green People and All Seeing Eyes, the number one on the unsigned chart this week. The new entry is from Tilly Dalgleish, who's 16 years old. She's a folk songstress from Suffolk, who's recently released her new EP called Painted Faces. It consists of six tracks, which includes the unsigned chart entry from last year called Lonely Birds. For more information on Tilly, you can go to facebook.com/Tilly's Music, and this is Patchworks.
other's arms, and we talked about who we are, about all our scars and how they came to be. And I said, honey, I know life won't always do what we say, but you know, I don't think I mind that, 'cause I think I like life that way. 'Cause you are the only one. You love me for my own. You, happy accident it seems, you stitched up all my dreams and made them more than they ever were. Of what we've left behind, and I remember the red and black. Remember when I told him not to come running back? You said, honey, they'll throw walls at us, they'll try to attack us, but we'll just knock them down. Oh, little girl, I'm not hard.
That's Tilly Dalgleish. The track is called Patchworks. It's a new entry in the Unsigned Chart. If you'd like to vote, go to cambridge105.fm/unsigned chart. Voting is open now. Julian, if he returns on a jet plane on Monday, will tell you the update situation at 6 o'clock. If he doesn't, then it'll be me. And then we'll do the full update on Wednesday next week from 8 o'clock on the new music generator. It's Cambridge 105. It's 23 minutes past 6, and it's time to talk movies and theatre with Sky. Hello, Sky.
Hello.
And Hattie.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, it's been great to actually go to the cinema and see these movies that we're talking about for a change.
Sky, don't say that. We see them every week. We have seen every film we've ever reviewed.
You were slightly winging it last week.
We fully researched them anyway.
Yep. Okay, so tell us what we're looking at today.
First up, we're going to check in with If I Stay. Mm-hmm. Chloe Grace Moretz stars in a deeply moving romantic drama about a teenage girl whose life changes in an instant. Mm. Deeply moving.
Okay, all right. Shall we listen to a trailer?
Let's.
What's that?
You'll be auditioning for Juilliard. That's the ceiling. I figured, you know, if you look at it every night, it won't seem so scary when you get there.
I told you he was into you.
No, he isn't, Jim.
You know how when you meet someone and they just already are the person they're meant to be? That was Adam. Nobody outside Portland had ever heard of his band, but he already was somebody. Me, not so much.
She shouldn't be scared to hang out with those guys. They're us.
Exactly. Adam's here.
Kids, be careful out there. Here it gets pretty wild. It's symphony.
Why do I have this feeling you're about to mess up my entire life?
Can't hide in that rehearsal room forever. It's too late. I see you.
crazy how life is one thing and then in an instant it becomes something else. Like here I am, Mia, the girl who thinks about the cello and Adam, and just like that.
You live, if you die, it's all up to you. So whatever fight you got in you, you gotta pull it out now.
Say something, I'm giving up on you.
Kid's waking up an orphan. If she wakes up.
Say something, I'm giving up on you.
What am I supposed to do?
Sometimes you make choices in life, and sometimes choices make you.
Better this.
The you you are now is the same you I was in love with yesterday, the same you I'll be in love with tomorrow.
You still have a family, Mia.
I can't lose her.
Say something, I'm giving up on you.
Life is this big, fat, gigantic, stinking mess. That's the beauty of it, too.
I'm still here, and I'm crazy in love with you. Please stay.
Oh, please stay.
I think a more appropriate song would have been The Clash's Should I Stay or Should I Go?
Really?
I think. Okay. Sorry, was I trying too hard there?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, never. You never try too hard, Sky. Anyway, moving on. So, Mia Hall, played by Chloe Grace Moretz, who we know from Kick-Ass.
Yes.
Mostly. She's been in like a couple of... Oh, she was in Carrie. That's what else she was in that people know.
And Let Me In.
Oh, yeah, that one too. But I don't like to talk about that because the original is much better. Mia Hall is a gifted cellist who has the opportunity to study at Juilliard. Her rock and roll loving parents, Kat and Denny, are baffled by their daughter's enthusiasm for classical music, but fully supportive of her ambitions. She's also fallen in love with the handsome and adoring Adam, played by Jamie Blackley, who was in the UK cast of Spring Awakening. I met him.
Oh.
That time.
Okay. Yeah.
It's a few years ago though, sorry. Who plays in a local band. But when a family drive ends in tragedy, Mia finds her life hanging in the balance. Trapped in limbo while her body lies in a hospital bed, she faces an agonizing decision. Is love strong enough to bring her back, or should she allow herself to slip away?
Sounds weird.
It is weird. And I think because of this looming death conundrum, it's been likened very much to Fault in Our Stars, and it's a very different film to Fault in Our Stars, and nowhere near as good. So
I say it's hardly It's a Wonderful Life or A Matter of Life and Death, really.
But it's in that kind of vein. It's you know, she's in a coma and she finds herself walking around as a bit of a ghost, you know,
as you do
in the hospital that her body is in. You know, her parents are technically in the building after the big car crash, and her little brother as well. And then, you know, her grandparents are there, and her kind of boyfriend is there, and her best friend is there, and there's all a lot of emotional stuff. And there's
a lot of flashbacks.
Yeah, it's mainly told through flashbacks,
right.
Sort of the events that sort of led.
Is it quite easy to follow then?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, because it's a bit bland.
Right.
It's a bit bland and disappointing. Chloe Grace Moretz is a fantastic actress, and she's really going to be one to watch. It's going to be really exciting to see her shape her career. And I can understand why she's gone in for this, you know, the young adult literature adaptation scene is huge at the moment. And there's some fantastic stuff out there. You know, Hunger Games, obviously, Divergent, Fault in Our Stars, of course. But this, it's just... it doesn't get you.
It's a bit wet.
It is a bit wet, and it's a bit flat, and her boyfriend Adam is just a bit of a jerk. And it's
I was sitting watching it, okay, and every time there was a cheesy line said, Hattie would lean over to me and just repeat the line, like, adoringly to me.
Not adoringly. He stops her in the corridor one day and stands at her locker, and she's like, oh, why are you so interested in me? And he's like, I see you. That's the kind of film this is.
If someone did that maybe to me, I think creepy. I'd be slightly scared. Yeah.
Yeah, a little less creepy than I made that sound. But he's just not very nice. He wants to go off with his band and tour the world and do amazing things with his musical career. She plays the cello, like, amazingly and wants to go off and study to play the cello at Juilliard, which everybody knows that, you know, if it's mentioned in a film, then there's some kind of incredible protege. You know, because Juilliard is like the only music school right. in the world in movies.
Yep.
So yeah, and she wants to do that, and he's like, what? No, you want to move to New York? This is ridiculous. Bye, I'm going on tour for another 3 weeks. It's like, double standards, mate.
Okay, but on another level, if you get wrapped up in the drama and the emotion,
like Sky did when he cried.
I'm just saying, you know, if you take it on the level it's aimed at, then you can get swept along. And there was a tiny, tiny little bit, little scene where I got a bit welled up.
He cried.
But I did not cry.
He cried.
What happened?
It's not Lion King, all right? It's not.
What happened in this little scene where you shed a tear? Oh, what was going on?
It was when, like, the older generation, it's to do with the granddad talking to her in a coma. And
well,
it's not just him.
It's, you know, it's the members of her family and her friends, and it's sort of the like climax of the film. Will she stay and come back to life and do things alive, or will she just, you know, slip away and not?
Okay.
And they keep you in suspense to the very last scene.
Of course.
Yeah. Cool.
So on balance, like, you were disappointed.
I was disappointed. It's nice. It's a nice film, but with the standard of films out there at the moment, even just in this genre, it's nice is not good enough.
Mm-hmm.
So,
okay.
Chloe Grace Moretz, pick better films, and everybody else was all right.
That said, if you like it and you want to go and see it...
Yeah, you can see it. Which, you know, if you...
You won't find Sky or Hattie there, but you can go and see it.
You might find Sky there, shedding a tear.
It's only got very limited showings next week.
Oh,
in fact, it's only... Because it's been out a week and it's now sort of dropping off.
It's not doing very well.
Friday and Saturday...
It's not
going
to do any better after that review, is it?
Friday and Saturday only at 10:30. Late shows at Cineworld or at View. It's on Saturday and Sunday only in the morning at 10:15 or 12:15.
Now, can I just say, I think these are stupid times.
10:15 in the morning.
Yeah. And this is a film
that's...
I don't
want people to go.
This is a film that's aimed at teenage girls.
Right.
You know, who are not going to be in the cinema at 10:30 at night. And, you know, they're not going to be up at 9:45 in the morning. Like, come on, cinema programmers.
Serious question: when cinemas show a film, do they have like an obligation to show it for a certain amount of weeks or a certain amount of showings? Do they just shove these things into the times when no one goes, just to get it out of the way because they have to show it at a certain amount of time?
Whatever's organised with the distributors and the film buyers, they will say you need to show a certain amount of this film,
right?
And then they will judge on the figures whether to have so many shows in the following weeks.
Okay,
so it's between them, and then the cinemas just put them in the
rough. It's quite usual. So if something's not working, they'll shove it out at a less peak time.
It's supply and demand.
Yeah.
So if it's doing well, you'll see it around for longer. Like Skyfall was around for 5 months.
Frozen still keeps being shown.
Frozen, yes. I preferred Tangled, I'm not going to lie.
That's a whole other debate. Okay, I was just wondering why they put it on at that time. Okay, all right, that's the first one then. Let's play a track and we'll come back and we're going to talk Box Trolls.
Box Trolls!
Okay, here's The Killers. He was a friend of mine from The Killers. It's 23 minutes to... Yes, 23 minutes to... Yes, I'm right. To 7 o'clock. yes, I'm Tim Willett. Hi. And this is 105 Drive without Julian Clover. And we're talking movies. And now it's time to talk about Box Trolls, which appears to be one for the children and families. Family. Yeah.
Yes.
And everybody else, because it's brilliant.
Well,
sorry,
and Hattie.
On.
Okay. An orphan boy leads his quirky family of subterranean critters into battle with an evil villain in this fun-packed family animation.
in the town of Cheesebridge, when all good citizens are safe inside, beastly creatures roam the night.
Fox trolls! Fox trolls are monsters!
At least, that's what everyone's been told. Welcome to the magical world of the Box Trolls, where one lucky boy lives happily with his unusual family. They transform treasures into incredible inventions. Careful never to be seen.
Who's there?
By human eyes.
I want every box troll gone.
Let's go. Who are you, boy?
I'm a box troll.
Then let's see you fit in your box.
Please help us.
You need to look like a proper boy.
Is it a miracle?
Yes. Yes. No. When you meet someone, you must look them in the eye and shake hands. What are you doing?
Box troll, come out, come out!
No more hiding, right?
Right! I will destroy every last box troll in this town!
Yourself, don't be afraid anymore. This way. Pleasure to meet you.
No. Never seen one do that before.
The Box Trolls.
Off with Box.
Yes, 11-year-old Eggs has been raised in the underground lair of the Box Trolls. These lovable creatures only come out at night to scour the streets of Cheesebridge for trash, which they turn into amazing inventions. Eggs has been with them so long, he now thinks he's a Box Troll. Their nemesis is evil Archibald Snatcher, a pest exterminator with ideas above his station, who leads a sinister gang of red hats. Matters come to a head when Winnie, the neglected daughter of Cheesebridge's wealthy mayor, teams up with Eggs to save the Box Trolls. Adapted from Alan Snow's novel Here Be Monsters, this is a fabulous, exquisitely animated new adventure from the creators of Coraline and Paranorman. So if you're a fan of those two films, you'll definitely enjoy this one.
So these people haven't done an animated film before?
They have, yes. Coraline and Paranorman are...
Oh, they're animated films. Yeah. Okay, sorry.
So they've done in a very similar style.
I've not seen those films, clearly.
You should. They're very good.
Okay.
Because the
design, the animation looks familiar. I've seen characters designed in that sort of way before.
It feels like almost Tim Burton-esque kind of thing.
Yes, that's what I was thinking.
Bit Corpse Bride-y.
Yes.
They have an edge of...
Nightmare Before Christmas.
Exactly. You do wonder, it is rated a PG. It is definitely a family film. There's lots of funny moments. It's great to look at. But there are a few bits where, you know, a little bit younger children may find the character designs a bit creepy, you know, not so keen on them.
I think if you can handle Coraline, then you will definitely be able to handle this. Coraline is much darker, much weirder. And this is, you know, fluffy in comparison. But it's fantastic.
It is.
It's so good. It's full of magic. It's full of happiness. It's so heartwarming. It's lovely.
I was surprised because I wasn't really paying attention to only one voice of the voice cast stood out to me, and that was Richard Ayoade. But I was really surprised at the rest of the cast and who was voicing what. Ben Kingsley's in it, Elle Fanning.
Sister of Dakota.
Okay. Yeah.
Nick Frost and Simon Pegg and Tony Collette as well.
All right. So they did such good voices, the jobs that you didn't realise that it was actually them.
Yeah.
Yes.
They were putting in a bit of effort to not sound like themselves. So.
It's magical and it's beautiful to watch. The animation really is something really special. And even the end credits are gorgeous as well. There's absolutely stay. You don't have to stay all the way through the credits, but there's a scene immediately after the credits start playing.
I don't like it when they do that because you feel as if you have to sit there for the whole credit. Because sometimes
it's
you
not
get
Marvel,
films.
By any
sometimes
length.
It, something happens right at the very end of the credits, and you walk out and you feel you've missed out on something.
this one happens sort of quite close to the start of the credits,
okay.
And it's brilliant because it's a sort of end scene, but you can see the animators working around them as well, and
all right.
That almost made the entire thing for me. It was fantastic.
Like, oh, is there any CGI in this? Probably a little bit, but most of it is all stop motion style, which, you know, it's sort of, I wouldn't say a dying art form, but the people are giving away so much to digital and 3D and everything that, you know, there is a particular look to it. There's a particular, you know, feel.
There's a warmth to it, I think.
Yeah.
It's so, like watching a film, like a proper film, a 35mm film rather than a digital film.
Okay.
But yeah, so I heartily recommend it for anybody who likes happiness.
Well, who doesn't like happiness?
And cute little trolls. Yes.
I mean, they look a bit weird when you first see them.
Yeah.
But you're like,
you fall in love with them at the end.
Quite close to the beginning.
Okay.
Fish and shoe and wheels. Oh, that's lovely.
Lots of eccentric characters.
Oh, it's wonderful. it's fantastic. Also, if you like cheese, you will also like this film because cheese features quite a lot.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Bria moth. So you can see this film at Cineworld on Friday at 12:30. I think that says three. I can't read Sky's writing. And 4:05 in 3D, at 5:30, 6:30 in 3D, and 8:00 in 3D. And at View on Friday at 12, 2:20, 4:45, and 7. And Saturday and Sunday at 11 and 1:30.
Yeah, they're only choosing to show the 3D on Saturday and Sunday.
We saw it in 3D.
Okay.
And normally, as everybody's well aware, I can't bear 3D. I think it's terrible. This is actually very good.
Okay.
And I think that's animation usually suits 3D much better.
Yeah.
So yeah, go see this film.
Okie dokie. Thank you very much. One more film to come and theatre news. Cambridge 105. The Entertainment Hour on 105 Drive. We're talking movies and in a minute, theatre. One more movie to talk about, Mick, quickly.
Yeah, just a quick preview of one that's out this week. It did have previews last weekend. A Most Wanted Man. I'm quite looking forward to it. It is one of Philip Seymour Hoffman's last films before he passed. And it's based on a spy book by John Le Carré, who you may have seen his other work adapted into film, like Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy, mm-hmm. Tailor of Panama, those sort of things. And yeah, it's a nice spy espionage one. So we'll give you a little taster with a clip now.
German intelligence needs a job to be done. Let German law won't let it do.
Our unit was set up to develop resources.
We're not policemen.
We're spies.
Our sources don't come to us.
Hi, Oliver. Good to see you.
We find them. When they're ours, we direct them at bigger targets. It takes a minnow to catch a barracuda, a barracuda to catch a shark.
They're moving.
You can't do this. I'm a lawyer.
Lawyer. That social worker for terrorists. You've crossed the line. You're on their side now.
I'm frightened. I'm not your spy. I can't do this anymore.
You're my ears and my eyes. I need you. We have a job to do. You're going to help me do it.
Martha Sullivan, U.S. Embassy, Berlin.
Dr. Abdullah moves money through a network of Muslim charities, and every time he does, some of it goes missing.
He's moving the money to a shipping company.
He's got a lot of friends here in Berlin.
Watch your back.
The man's tolerant and engaged with the West, but every good man has a little bit of bad, doesn't he? And in Abdullah's case, that little bit just might kill you.
We have 3 hours to apprehend Abdullah and make him ours.
Hello?
If this kid lets off a bomb,
it's in your hands.
I'm not doing this for you.
Most of us don't get to choose.
I gave you Issa. Issa gives you Abdullah. What's next?
Maybe you could define for us what the long-term objective would be.
To make the world a safer place. Isn't that enough?
So yeah, that's A Most Wanted Man. It's out tomorrow, and you can catch it at Cineworld at 20 past 12, 10 past 3, 6 o'clock and 10 to 9, and at Vue at 1:45, 4:15, half 6 and 10 past 9. Check it out.
Okay, and some theatre news.
Theatre, yes. Mentioned last week was Assassins at the ADC Theatre. This most American of musicals explores the warped twists and turns of the lives of 9 individuals who have attempted to assassinate presidents of the United States throughout history. So from John Wilkes Booth to Lee Harvey Oswald, this is written by Stephen Sondheim, who we know from Into the Woods, which was on earlier this year, Sweeney Todd as well. So quite fast-paced, difficult to get your mouth around lyrics, but good fun nonetheless. This is put together by Sleepless Theatre Company, which is a newly formed musical theatre company put together by young people. So it's quite exciting. If you liked The Producers last year, which was put together by the same group of people, then you should enjoy this. This runs until Saturday evening at 7:45 at the ADC Theatre. Tickets are £14 adults, £11 concessions. Age suitability is 12 plus. Tickets from adctheatre.com or the box office on Park Street. Also up for theatre around Cambridge is a really interesting piece at Cambridge Junction. It's called The Hand That Takes. This is an immersive promenade performance which uses live voice, recorded sound and darkness to set the stage for a journey into loss, financial abstractions and the mysteries of the market. This is a visceral experience of performance, space and sound. Basically, they've put together a maze in a theatre studio, and it's amazing already. I had to lock up the building yesterday and had to walk through it to do my checks, and right. it's a bit weird. It's in narrow spaces. It's very low light. You need to wear flat shoes. You know, it's a bit of an adventure.
Okay.
There is partial wheelchair access as well, and a performance for blind or partially sighted customers as well. Mm-hmm. So contact Cambridge Junction box office if you have access needs, because they can be arranged for. so this is, it's based around debt, a sleight of hand trick transformed bank debt into our collective debt and ushered in austerity measures, cuts and privatisation. It's got links to Greek mythology with the Minotaur and the Labyrinth.
Mm-hmm.
This is quite interesting. It's running Tuesday the 16th, Wednesday the 17th and Thursday the 18th of September at various times from 3 o'clock in the afternoon to about 8 o'clock in the evening. But check out the website, junction.co.uk, for more information and running times. It's in J3, part of Cambridge Junction, and prices are £5. So this is going to be a really interesting piece of theatre, and it's quite exciting to have it in such a small and intimate studio. So check that out if you can. And while we're on the subject of theatre and Cambridge Junction, might I just plug My Theatre Matters, which is a great campaign. It's really valuing local community theatre. That's what it's really geared towards. It's sort of trying to raise awareness of the fact that there are lots of cuts to the arts sector, particularly those outside of the capital as well, and really trying to sort of celebrate local theatre and the sort of welcoming atmosphere that you get as a patron of the theatre. So this is My Theatre Matters. You can check it out at mytheatrematters.com and vote for your favourite venue. You can select on the map which area you live in. And for the East, both Cambridge Junction and the Corn Exchange are taking part, as well as other theatres around East Anglia.
Okay.
So vote for your most welcoming venue.
So if you've been to Cambridge Junction or Cambridge Corn Exchange and you like either of them, go and vote for them.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when does that close?
End of September.
Okay.
More information to follow.
All right, lovely. Thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you.
We will see, Julian will see you again next week, and we will leave you with George Ezra.